Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Tomorrow, of course, is Friday. We will have a Reardon Roundtable starting at 3. Former St. Louis County Police Chief and Councilman Tim Fitch will be here. Former State Senator Jeff Smith, as we are now less than 3 weeks away from our primary. We'll, of course, have Paul Hall on some entertainment recommendations. The Odyssey is the big movie opening this weekend. Cusimano will be here. We have Bill Eigel, who's running for county executive in St. Charles at 5 p.m. tomorrow. And Kilmeade for a rare Friday visit as well. Coming up a little later after Sue's news, comedian George Wallace is in town. He's at Helium for a few shows, and he's just amazingly funny. I mean, I've been a fan of his for a while, but I got to meet him and talk to him a little bit before the interview as well, because he's doing some stuff on the other stations, and he could not be nicer and more funny. So that's coming up as well. J. Peter Zane back with us, who writes at Real Clear Investigations. He's a columnist for Real Clear Politics. It's been a while, Peter, so I wanted to see what was on your mind politically. How are you this afternoon?
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I got to say, we've started a podcast for Real Clear Investigations, and I host it. And I have so much more respect for what you do, because it's hard enough just to flap my jaws, but to actually have to run a show and worry about what other people are saying and the timing. I don't know. I didn't realize how hard it was.
Well, I appreciate that. My advantage is it's the only thing I've ever done in my entire life, and really it's the only skill I have. So I'm in big trouble if it goes away, but I've managed to do it. But I did notice that you were doing the podcast. Everyone's got a podcast, so we can certainly promote that. But I know that you also, on that podcast, or maybe written about, and I've covered this a little bit, the report that came out about the Smithsonian and the National Museum of American History, which, again, I think should have gotten a lot more attention in the legacy media. I think we both agree on that. But that report was extremely problematic. And all I saw in the Washington Post and the New York Times were people trying to, you know, try to make that report look like it didn't say what it did say, I think, is what the problem was.
Well, I mean, anybody with a pulse knows that the basic point the Trump administration was making, which is that the left is trying to recast the story of American history as one of slavery and oppression and bad actors. That is so obvious, stemming back to the 1619 Project, all the stuff that came out with BLM. If anybody's been to a museum, not just the Smithsonian, but you see that. So the Trump administration critiques that. They bring it out that these leftist historians are trying to what we call problematize history. So you want to find all the problems that have occurred in the past. And instead of, and this is really, I think, the main point here, instead of saying, let's have a discussion about the version of history that we are presenting, academic historians, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and others say Trump is trying to politicize something that has already been politicized, because all of the academics will tell you that everything is political. I mean, so that was my sort of problem with this, was that he raised a critique, and instead of engaging with the critique that seems so obvious, you change the way you want us to think about history, they simply said he shouldn't be allowed to do that. And by the way, we're just dealing with facts, which is not even true, because facts only mean anything when you assign meaning to them. Not to get too abstract, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do.
The fact. Yeah.
And you're, Peter, you're even saying, look, you're not endorsing, you know, whatever Trump's version might be. You're saying, let's have a discussion here that the left doesn't really want to have. And some of the stuff that comes out and you see leaked out about the way that people who are visitors to that museum are being taught about this country is just horrifying. So I think a discussion is warranted, but that discussion won't take place because it is not given any air in a wider platform, seemingly.
Right. Exactly. And you know what? One of the reasons I want to talk to you about this is I'm trying to write a column about it, so you're helping me get my thoughts together. But it really feels like this is a form of authoritarianism. And they keep pushing at Trump. But this authoritarianism is, we are the authorities. We are the experts. And so we are just giving you a neutral view of what's gone on. This is just the facts. These are just reality. When in fact, their own ideology says that there really is no truth. There's just arguments about truth. And all politics is simply trying to get power. So they do all of these things. And then they hide behind the idea that, oh, we don't have any axe to grind. We don't have any political interest in this. We're just telling you that American history, as a factual, objective statement, is the story of oppression and slavery. And if you disagree with that, you're disagreeing with the facts, and you're disagreeing with experts, and you're trying to politicize it. And it's insane. The whole argument is both uncompromising and it's incoherent. Because their own ideology tells you that's not true.
I think a lot of this certainly got worse because of what happened here in 2014. You know, and then exacerbated with George Floyd. I'm talking about Mike Brown in 2014. Right. Exacerbated by George Floyd and what happened with BLM and all that nonsense. And then the 1619 Project, that was always kind of hanging in the news as well, unfortunately. So, yeah, I don't know. We talked about this a lot before the 4th of July and the 250th anniversary that, you know, I want my daughter. I have two sons that might be lost to me when it comes to being anti-American. I'm not kind of joking about that, but I have one son that's a teacher. I kind of call him an indoctrinator. They're not necessarily on my side of politics, but I think that, you know, the Tulsa race riot is brought up quite a bit, right? And Trump and the Republicans don't want people to know about that. That nothing could be further from the truth. Talk about the Tulsa race riot, right? Talk about these things that have happened, but let's not only talk about the bad, oppressive things that have happened. Let's talk about some of the successes, of which we have many in this country from the past several hundred years. But that doesn't seem to be at the top of the minds of the historians and people in academia. Look, I think people in academia have been this way for a long time, but I think that those events that I just talked about gave them more comfort in going down this path one more time with anti-Americanism and oppression and all the other stuff.
And it's authoritarianism because they're using their supposed authority to shut down any discussion. And I agree with you. You need to talk about slavery. You need to talk about oppression. You need to talk about the Pinkertons and going after. All of that is part of American history. But they don't want to have a discussion. They want their version, and they want to shut everybody up. And the whole point of having free speech is not just so that you can say anything. It's that, you know, the stories we tell are constantly changing. And when people have free speech, they're allowed to say, well, I think this, I think that. And then we go, that doesn't make sense, or that does make sense. And when you say there's only one truth and it's my truth, that is the most un-American authoritarian thing you can do, because it then means that you don't have discussions, and America is a great country because we're constantly self-correcting, which I'm sure you talked about, you know, with July 4th.
Absolutely.
That's the genius of the Constitution, is that we can change, we can get better.
So I've had John Murawski, is a guy that's been on the show many times as well, like you.
Yes.
He's over there at Real Clear. Wrote a piece a few weeks ago about the news of woke's death is greatly exaggerated. I've been one that's been in the camp to say, look, the last 4 years, we make great strides, especially on some of the trans stuff. John's point, and maybe you agree with this, is that, look, there's a lot of woke stuff going out there, and it's not going away, right?
It's what we forget is that, just like we were saying with the history, this is the product of 40 years of ideology. You know, this is basically what Trump was saying, the Trump administration, about the Smithsonian. They problematize things. So instead of saying, you know, how do we build up a country? You know, what are the good things about it? They say, what can we tear down? You know, this is what the leftist project is. They want to tear everything down so that you don't look to the past. You don't look to any of the institutions that you've had. They're all corrupt. They're all bad, so that they then can create new ones for you. And you saw that in the French Revolution. Remember, they changed the calendar. Now it's year one. You saw that with the Russian Revolution. That's what they want to do. They want to destroy the family, marriage, parenting, all the pillars of society, so that they are then empowered to create their own version of society and reality. And that's what he was trying to say, was that, you know, the essence of wokeness, if there is a thing to it, it is take anything that other people believe in and tear it down. Tell people why it's a why parenting is a problem, why the nuclear family is a problem, why capitalism is a problem, why, you know, communities are a problem. They don't want any of that.
Yeah, like, look, just as an example, just because you brought this up, this is Gavin Newsom.
Something's fundamentally broken here, and that wealth is creating power, power locking in rules and regulations, locking everybody else out. I would argue socialism not going to work, but capitalism as we know it doesn't work either.
Okay, I mean, several observations from that. First of all, he runs the state that has the most government regulations of any place on the planet, you know, which is ridiculous. But he was careful there. He's like, oh, socialism might not be the answer, but he's ripping on capitalism, and we're seeing a lot more of that, aren't we?
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and that's the but statement. So he really probably is endorsing socialism.
Yes.
But one of the things I would say to your listeners is count how many times when you're reading, a prestige publication, you hear these dark times in this, you know, horrible period, in these troubling times. I got to tell you, America, for all its problems, most people are living like kings, literally. I mean, we live so well. And yet they want to tell us that we're living in very dark times. And they do that because if you're living in a dark time, then you need to reject what got you to the dark time and have something new. And so they create this environment in which the goal is to reject. They're not so much embracing. That's the other thing you see about wokeness. As much as they say, oh, we embrace trans people, polyamory, it's not to make us do a positive thing. It's to make us not believe in the thing we had been doing. So they don't embrace polyamory because they want everybody to have 10 partners. They embrace it because they want to destroy marriage. They want to destroy monogamy. They want to destroy the family.
I think
and
you're
the
right.
The way you do it,
Yeah, absolutely. Peter Zane, always great to have you on. Have you pre-ordered Joe Biden's book? I hope you have.
Oh, my God. 6 copies.
can you imagine the audio version of that book, by the way? If he's doing the... I mean, you heard the trailer.
The Insomniac.
You couldn't understand the words even in the trailer, but this is going to be interesting. Peter, have a great weekend. I appreciate you coming on. We'll talk soon.
Thanks
so much.
All right,
take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.